In Ephesians chapter 4, let's start in verse 11. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. So right here, God wants us to know that he's equipping us. He's equipping you to be at Walmart and be his mouthpiece, be his hands and feet. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. God calls ministry work, and I'd have to agree with him, having been in ministry for a while. For the edifying of the body of Christ. He wants to build up his body. Now, he wants to build it up in numbers because his word says he's not willing that one would perish. So he wants everybody to come into his family. But he also wants to build us up in not just in our spirit by getting us born again, but in our soulish realm, in our physical body, in the things we do, in the things we think, in the mindsets. A lot of us grew up with wrong thinking. And it just carried over into our adulthood. And so we just react or react, for a better way of putting it, to a certain situation simply because of all the years that our computer program just says, do it this way. And you don't, people that have studied the brain, Dr. Caroline Leaf, she says that 95% of what we do is subconscious. It's all automatic. It's not the manual shift anymore, guys. How many drive a manual shift, stick shift? Like 3-4 of you. The rest of you are on automatic. Well, that's kind of the way it is when we get born again. Well, when we get born again, now our spirit man becomes perfect, but we still got to deal with our mind, our will, and our emotions. That's our soulish realm. And what does God give us for instruction there? Just hold your place in Ephesians. We're coming back. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. He's not talking about you laying your life down in death. He's saying present your body as a living sacrifice. Verse 2, it goes on to explain, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our mind now needs to be transformed. It needs to be renewed. How do we do that? He says that you renew your mind that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there's a way when we have our minds renewed that something's going to be proven to the world, be proven to you. But what would that be? Our actions, our words are going to start changing. Our actions are going to start changing because now we're being conformed to his son, and his son is where it's at. And so it's off with the old and it's in with the new. But it doesn't have, you get made perfect in your spirit man immediately, but it takes time to renew our minds. We're all on a journey. That people are at different places in your journey. Might be some here that don't even know God, so you need to get born again and come into the kingdom. And then there might be some that did that this year or last year, and you're still learning. I've been at it long time. I'm still learning. There's still more God teaches me every time I open his word about my life, about how I handle situations. And so, you know, I've had people come to me and you know, tell me horrific stuff, and I don't just melt down and fall on the ground because I know the answer. Like Steve said, he knows the one that knows the answer. When you've been with him and your mind's been renewed, you don't act the same way you did when you were a baby Christian. You don't freak out at the same things anymore. When sickness comes, you just tell that thing to leave. You don't bawl and squall and you know, act the way you used to do it. And you know what I'm talking about. So when we have our minds renewed, we're going to begin to look different to ourselves and to the world. You'll hear yourself begin to talk different. But it takes time. It's a transformation. It's kind of like the caterpillar thing. where it takes time. It doesn't just bang happen overnight. It's a period of time. And as we get into God's word, this is how we renew our mind. And so we all need our minds renewed, every single one of us. Because God's got a better way than the way we used to follow. And so we've got to get out with the old and in with the new. Now, for our spirit, I said we're perfect. But our mind, we still think sometimes the way we used to think. We've got to get that out. We've got to get that junk out. That stinking thinking. That's what I call it, stinking thinking. If it's not lining up with God's word, it's stinking thinking. I don't care if your parents did it and your grandparents said it and all the churches you've ever gone to said it. That's not, this right here is, did God say it? It isn't even, it's not about what pastor says. You look in the book for yourself. Don't just take my word for it. I came in last week and I said something totally backwards. And Nancy looked at me like, what did he just say? I don't remember what it was, but I caught myself. I said that backwards, didn't I? And you, yeah, you did. Just like, what's happened to pastor? Well, I just got my tongue going faster. That happens a lot. That's because I get wicked excited. I don't like to say wicked. I get excited about the things of God. Why? Because I've seen the transformation power of God take people from the ditches into glory. And we're supposed to be going from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. Stay out of the ditches. The devil wants to trip you and make you fall in the ditch. Don't put up with his tricks anymore. The Bible says don't be ignorant of his devices. Don't be ignorant, so know what they are. This is one of them. That's one of them. That gets you into more trouble than anything else. I want you to remember this. The next time you want to just lash out and say something, grab your tongue or carry with you a bottle of pepper sauce and just put some on there until it's burning so that you get it. It's a tongue of iniquity. It sets things on fire. Yeah. Just set your tongue on fire, and then you won't be able to say, you're just going to be looking for water, water, water. The water of the word. We need to be cleansed by the washing of the water of the word. Okay, back to Ephesians. We're going to get something here today. We're going to get, say, I'm going to get it. I was praying on the way in this morning. Father, just... I pray that they're hungry for your word and they believe it and they receive it into the good ground of their hearts and that it gets planted. It has to get planted. Remember Jesus told that parable in Mark chapter 4 and in other places about the sower sowing the seed and he explained that the seed was the word of God. But some gets by the wayside and Satan comes immediately, just snatches that out. But then the next group, it goes into hard ground. So they believe it for a season. They come to church for a while. Oh, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. But then what happens? Persecution. Persecution, you know? Somebody said something to you. Or just coming to church on Wednesday night. Your family's going to think you're a fanatic or a nut. You go to church twice a week. Didn't you get it on Sunday? Well, in most cases, people don't just get it on Sunday. This is an everyday life experience when we come to Christ. That's why I said it's easy to put on our smiling faces here, but what about on Thursday afternoon when you're tired and you missed lunch and you're hungry and somebody irritates you, rubs you the wrong way? It's a thorn in your side. How many have ever had anybody in their life like that? Am I the only one? And you want to just smack them. That church stuff doesn't work. It doesn't work. There's no use going back there. That's a bunch of hooey. See, that's Satan talking to you, a bunch of hooey. That's his words. Jesus said, my words are life and health to those that find them. Jesus said, my word will never pass away. You got to get to know the one that said these words, and then you'll be able to line them up with your life. Am I speaking words that bring the kingdom of God closer to me, or am I bringing, sorry guys, Satan's kingdom back towards me in the things I say or do? It's how we live. And God wants you to, Jesus said this in John 10 and 10. He told you, it's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But he didn't leave it at that. Somebody say, I'm glad he didn't just stop right there. That there's another part of that verse. It says, I came. Has he come? Yes. He came that we might have and enjoy life. If you're not enjoying life, you're out of the will of God. Oh, I never heard that before. It's what Jesus said. If he came that you might have and enjoy life in abundance, to the full, until it overflows. Overflow means your abundant life overflows into other people that you that God puts in your life. You're going to have an overflowing, abundant life. So think with me here for a second. If you start your day and somebody rubs you the wrong way at work and you start lashing out at them, you're not enjoying the good life that Jesus came to pay for. He paid for it. It's all paid and done. You just got to walk in it. You got to live it. That's what that means. You got to live it. If you believe it, you're going to live it. If you believe it, then you're going to live it. Amen. So back to Ephesians 4, he's given these different ones for the equipping of the saints, for the building up of the body, till we all, verse 13, come to the unity of the faith. God wants us in unity. The devil wants to split us up. God wants us in unity. The devil wants to split us apart. When people get offended and get mad and, you know, I'm taking my ball and I'm leaving and I'm not going to come here anymore. Or you know, even at work. How many of you have ever seen somebody get angry? We saw it just this week over at the house. There was some people, were you there? There was somebody that down the street and they were doing some work for somebody's house. Well, the boss showed up. And he was cussing him out, swearing up a storm, saying, you did it wrong, this, and the guy gets in his truck and he takes off. I don't know who was at fault in the whole thing, but I saw something that wasn't good. That'd be awful if they were both Christians. I mean, it'd be good if they were, you hear what I'm saying? But if that's how they were letting their light shine in the community, whoa. Now, we've shouted a few times, but that's usually when, you know, your thumb gets in the way or a board hit in the head or something. But God, you know, we're getting hard helmets, I think, for those that come over. Darn those 100-year-old boards that just fall out of the ceiling for no reason. Because on the other side, I saw somebody with a big sledgehammer. It's like, that's coming down. Better be out of the way. Anyway, he says that we come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. The knowledge of the Son of God. We need to have the knowledge and the understanding of what Jesus came to do and what he prepared for us. In John 14, 12, he said, those that believe on me will do the same works that I did. I know a lot of people struggle with that. All in my early 30 years of my life, I struggled with that because I was taught wrong. I was taught that was, you know, almost blasphemy to think you could do something God does. But you know what? He created us to do those work. Some of you are looking at me. Some of you are smiling, but some of you aren't. Let's just go to John chapter 14. You see, this isn't what I say. This is what the Word says. This is what God says. I'm giving you what God says. It's up to you to do with it what you want. Okay? If you're just going to make the decision it's not for you and you never come back, well, that's fine, you know? It hurts, but it's going to hurt you more in the long run. Because we're giving you the truth here. John 14, Jesus said, most assuredly, we should listen to the words of the master, but when he says verily, verily, or truly, truly, or most assuredly, he's like making his point. I want you to get this. This is important. Most assuredly, I say to you, see, it's not pastor saying this to you, it's Jesus saying this to you. He who believes in Jesus, the works that I do, Jesus said, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do. I'm not even going to touch on that part until you can get the first part that I'm going to do the works that Jesus did. What were the works Jesus did? He did miracles. See, I believe in miracles. Jesus, read it. In Luke's account, he sent out his disciples. And he told them, when you come near a house, if they receive you, they receive you. And you tell them, the kingdom of God has come near you. See, we carry the kingdom of God with us. That's powerful. And he gave them authority over unclean spirits, demonic spirits that put cancer and all sorts of demonic stuff. That all comes from the enemy. He gave us authority over that. But you have to believe it. When you believe it, that's why Jesus said, he who believes in me. He didn't say, he who says I'm a Christian. You have to believe in Jesus, and you have to believe in what he did if you're ever going to follow suit and do it. If you have a question mark in your mind that Jesus healed people, you'll never, ever be used of God to heal anybody. God looks at the inside. That's why he's going to test us in the little things before he gives us a big, you know, I've met people before, and they get all excited and think they're going to have this world ministry with, you know, super skyscrapers and by fall. It's just like, let me just clue you in. Jesus took 30 years of preparation before God launched him into his ministry. Don't despise small beginnings. Be faithful in the little thing. God will promote you, but he's watching the motive of your heart. So here he says that you'll do the works, the very works. He says, because I go to my Father. I'm not going to be here on the earth anymore, so I'm going to give it to my kids. They're going to carry it on. That's why the Bible says that had Satan known this was going to happen, he would have never crucified Jesus. Why? Because now he's got all of us to deal with. Before, it was just Jesus. One man in one place at one time. Now he's got us all over the planet. We're in South America. We're in Haiti. We're in China. We're in every country putting knots in the devil's head. It freaks him out. And so when you dare to believe and step out in faith and do those things, it just freaks him. And I like doing it. I like it. I was talking to him this week about his waterfront property. Thoughts were coming at me. I said, no, you're not taking up my thought life. You've got to protect. Just like when God gave Adam the mandate to guard and keep, you've got to guard and keep your heart. You've got to guard and keep your eye gates, what you see, what you hear. You're the gatekeeper. It's not God. He'll let you get into anything that you desire you're going to get into. And that's why our flesh is at odds with our spirit. It's fighting. And our spirit man should be in control and say, no, flesh. I'm not going to eat that third jelly donut. I mean, you know, that's true too. In every area. Let your life be in moderation. Come on. Somebody witnessed with that. He loves donuts. That's why. Anyway, praise the Lord. Well, back to Ephesians 4. I got so excited I closed my notes, but that's all right. We're just going to keep going with the Spirit of God here. Okay, so we got up to, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. That's a progressive knowledge that we have to continually seek after. He said in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed. Why? For a lack of knowledge. Not because they didn't love him, because they didn't follow. You know, they didn't get into his word. That's where it is for us today. And so, to a perfect man. Now, that word, don't get hung up about that word perfect in the English. It's talking about to a mature man or woman. Mature in understanding. Bible says that we're supposed to study the word of God to show ourselves approved unto God. Study. That you might rightly divide the word of truth. That tells me you could wrongly divide the word of truth. So if you lack of study means you're probably going to be wrongly dividing some things. You have to study. You know, even as sharp as I am, I don't get it first time I read it. You know, I was sharing this the other day. When I was in college, you know, I was in advanced accounting, and that stuff was tough. But if I didn't get it, you know, when I was reading the book, I reread it. Now, you could probably witness with the, you got kids that probably read it 10 times and come say, teacher, I read it 10 times. And then the other one, teacher, I didn't get it the first time. Teach me. You tell me what it says. And so I'd come in and I'd ace the test and everybody would get mad at me because I'm not tooting my horn. It's just that I was paying for it with my own dollars. So I studied and I studied hard and I got good grades. I noticed the ones that weren't happy with me, they were getting it paid by the state. See, there's something about when you have to put your shell out, your hard-earned money for something, it's going to make a difference. That's why I disagree with free education in the country. Some people think it's a right we should have. I think people should learn how to study and learn how to get for themselves. That's what the Bible says. He talks a lot about lazy people. There's nobody here. No, you know, I'm not talking to you, but this is on the internet. And if somebody happens to turn it on and find out, oh, well, maybe that's my problem. I'm lazy. See, that would help them. Okay, so that we come to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Just let that sink in. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That he just said that we'd have the knowledge. He wants us to have the knowledge of the fullness of Christ. What did Christ really do for us? See, the Bible says over in Romans that it's the goodness of God that leads men unto repentance. It's not you telling them they're sinners and they're going to hell. It's the love of God that will cause them to want to repent. Just means to change your mind. I don't want to do that anymore. I had desires of the flesh when I was younger, and I don't have those desires anymore. But it took time to get my mind renewed and to a realization of how much God loved me. And that's so important when you get born again, is to know the fullness of the knowledge of how much God loves you. When you get that, you won't want to sin. It will grieve you. Your spirit man will just feel icky. For lack of better English word, icky. That's not a good feeling. You know, I mean, you know after you've spoken words and you shouldn't have said them, that it feels icky in here. And so what's the response now? What do we have to do? Well, you know, go and say you're sorry. Well, what if they said something worse? Go say you're sorry anyway. You be the bigger person. You be the one. The love of God, the power. When you say I'm sorry, the power of God is in that. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control. When you have self-control, when you show kindness towards people, you're emanating the Father. You're doing the works that Jesus did. You say, well, wait a minute. I read in the Bible where Jesus got mad at people. He got mad at the sin that was going on. But even that woman that was caught in the very act of adultery, he did not judge her. He judged her sin when he went to Calvary. He said to the people that caught her in the very act, I don't know where the guy was. Why didn't they bring him? But that's another story. But anyway, they get him there, and Jesus just, I'm not sure what he wrote in the sand there, and you aren't either. But whatever, it doesn't matter. He just would not respond to them trying to, well, Moses, the law says we're supposed to stone her. Yep, that's what it was. So Jesus couldn't say, well, we're not going to do that. He just had to say, he went to their hearts. You that's without sin, you cast the first stone. See, God always goes to our hearts. Caught in the very act. They thought they had it lock, stock, and barrel. Sentenced. She's going to prison or she's getting stoned and dying. But no, Jesus. But then what did he, leave her there in that place of sin? No. He said, now you go and sin no more. He was gentle with her. She had an encounter with Christ that day. And we have opportunities to share our encounters with the world and let them know how much he's done for us. Amen? All right. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children. So when we come to Christ, we're really children of Christ now. We're children. So we've got to grow up. We've got to be renewing our minds. I mean, how many have raised kids before? You know, it's a training process. You don't tell little Billy to, you know, not to do this, and he just never does it again. 2 years old, and for some reason, he just obeys mom and dad for the rest of his life. That don't happen. It's a training process. How many of you had kids that did that? I didn't, you know. There's a thing called rebellion. And so we come to Christ, we're still children. We can still have that rebellion attitude in our lives. You got to work through it. Our God is so gracious and so full of mercy that he will take us a little bit at a time. He won't just hit us over the head with a 2x4 and say, you got it wrong. And so we, the church, as representations of him, we need to be the same way. We need to be careful not to be judging and well, but they're sinning. Yeah, they're sinning, but you're not their judge. See, that wasn't in my notes. That's why my notebook just closed. We got to love people. Yes, love them in their sin. We don't love their sin. Jesus said, restore them gently. Restore them gently. Jesus, through the word, he is the word. Don't come down hard. You that have adult children and they're not walking the walk. And you keep telling them, but you're doing it wrong. They know they're doing it wrong. And they don't like it. They're feeling icky about it. You love them, and you're just bringing God on the scene into their life. And now they're going to begin to hear that voice of the Spirit of God on the inside of their hearts. You're not going to be, I tell people, you know, when they come to me, and my kids are just, you know, they're adults, and, you know, whether they're into drugs or whatever they're into, I said, you're not going to be the one that speaks to them. You had your 18 years, and if they're still rebelling, you pray, Father, open the eyes of their hearts that they can see it. So Holy Spirit's now on the scene. And then, Father, bring people into their life that they will listen to, that will hear your voice and speak into their life. And here's something else. If you're raising kids, even if they're adult kids, we're supposed to still honor our parents. This is my parents. And, you know, just because my dad's 90 doesn't mean I dishonor him anymore. Says, I'll live long life. My life will be cut off short if I dishonor my dad and my mom. Amen? Where was I going with the other point? Here's the thing. God wants us to not try to do his job. Not try to be God in people's life. Don't try to tell your adult kids. They know they're doing wrong, and they know that, especially if you've trained them upright, you can stand on that one scripture. Now, if you didn't, then you're going to have to find some other scriptures. But if you brought your kids up knowing the Lord and training them up in the Lord, he said, when they get old, what? They won't depart. But God, they're just doing this kind of stuff. But that doesn't mean they've departed. God's a big God. Here's what I wanted to say. When I got the realization that God loved my kids more than I do, man, he just gave me that revelation. Now, it doesn't say that in the Bible, those exact words, but I got that revelation. So, my goodness, I can now cast my care to him for my kids, and I can go to bed at night. See, one of the things the Holy Spirit does is he's our standby. And so we go to sleep, and we have peaceful sleep and dreams and whatnot, and he's on standby. But he's watching out for my kids. I'm in bed. They're out maybe at the bars, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever. And they're just, you know, you can just see the results of the mess. You know, they get fired because, you know, they came into work so many times late. You know, you see the results of things. Love them. Love them. You're not the voice. I promise you, you're not going to be the voice. I've raised some kids. It's not my voice that's going to, but I tell you what, in a sense, it's my voice because my voice goes to the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to now take over and now work in their life. Because I could stand on that scripture that they're not going to depart. They're not going to depart. That was for somebody, I don't know who, but God had me just bring that out. So that we should no longer be children. When you stay children, look what happens. You're tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You see your children, they grow up and, you know, they're in school. All of a sudden, they start taking on the view of one of their friends. And it's like, Mom and Dad didn't stand for that all these years. And all of a sudden, they're just rebelling. And they're, oh, well, you know, my good friend, you know, she wouldn't lie to me. He wouldn't lie to me. And they begin to take on. That's why it's so important who you hang around, who you let your kids hang around. I was not, you know, there were kids in my kids' lives that I said, there's no way my daughter's going to hang around with this guy. And I saw to it. I went up to the parents' house and had a nice talk with them once. I'm the dad. To this day, my daughter thanks me. That guy, he was a neighborhood kid back then, not now. But his life was a mess. Still is. She's so thankful that, you know, but back then, I was like the worst guy on the planet. What do you mean I can't have him for a boyfriend? I said, what part of that don't you get? No. I don't say sorry for that decision. And there were others in my, you know, all my kids' lives. How many know what I'm talking about? Am I being real here or what? There are some people you don't want your kids to get close to. Now, you have to train them and tell them why. I sat my daughter down and I told her why. I said, that's not a godly family. You know, I was just telling her what it was and helping her to see that you're going to get into the same trouble that their kids get into. You know, back then, there was a truant officer if you didn't go to school. Today, it doesn't matter, I guess. But back then, they had somebody. It's like, you know, that guy's always visiting that family. Why? Because there's something going on wrong. It's like, I don't want my daughter involved in that. You think my kids always wanted to go to Sunday school? No, they didn't. But I said, as long as I'm dad, and I am, you're going to Sunday school. Am I glad I made that decision? Absolutely. Absolutely. Am I saying that every kid they meet, even in Sunday school, is going to be the right one for them? No. No. But you watch over and you protect them and you train them up by the word of God. And if you get the word in them, it won't return void, God said. So when you get them while they're little, that's why my heart is just so for the kids, younger kids now, more than it ever has been. Because if we can get them from the Satan getting his hands on them and getting his hooks in them, we have a better chance of our future, of the future of this country. So right, what we do with our children is going to make a big difference 20 years from now. And you might be older and your kids got to take care of you. You better put the right things in your kids, because they're going to say, ah, now we're in control. So you don't ever want your kids to, you want them to respect you and honor you. But, you know, the Bible says, fathers, you know, parents, don't exasperate your kids. Don't be so hard on them that they'll want to rebel. See, that's instruction. Also, the Bible says that the husband's head of the wife, but it doesn't say he's a tyrant. It says the same proportion, the same way Jesus is as the head of the church. That's the guideline. The father, the husband is head the way Jesus is head. It's got to be same. And I've heard guys say, well, she's got to submit. Yeah, she's got to submit the way you submit. Ladies, you're not helping me here at all. But you know what I'm talking about. We can't think we're something special to where we can just lord it over. We're not supposed to be doing that. We're supposed to be walking in love. Love our wives the way Christ loves the church. Christ died for the church. See, I'd be willing to die for my wife. And guys, you probably would for your wives, or you should, you know. We're not going to let harm come to them. We're going to be their protector. And when I'm not big enough, Holy Ghost is there. So, anyway, We're moving along. I'm still on the first scriptures here, and I haven't even told you what the title of the message is, but we're getting there. So that we no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. That sounds like Satan himself, because it is. It is. But speaking the truth in love may grow up. See, we're not supposed to stay children. We're supposed to grow up. We're not supposed to wear diapers anymore, you know, when we start growing up. We've got to get those things off. Get that junk out of our life. Might have been a little crude, but you get it. So that we might grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. From whom the whole body, say the whole body. You see, and the whole body isn't Faith Alive. The whole body is the body of Christ on this planet. We're brothers and sisters with every one of them. We're no better than they. You know, we're no worse than them. We're family. We all have the same DNA if you're in Christ. See, in the natural, everybody has different DNA. You get born again, now you've got God's DNA. And every one of us has the same DNA. And we're supposed to grow up. Hallelujah. We're supposed to grow up in all things. Say all things. I have to grow up in all things. All things. Think of something that's hard for you to grow up in. All things. God wants us to grow up. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. By what every joint supplies. Every joint is supposed to be supplying something for the building up of God's church. That's why I said earlier, you have a pulpit. You have a pulpit. Every one of us has a pulpit, a place from which we live our lives to where the world sees us and interacts with us, and we are the pulpit there. You know, when Trevor's on the road and he's driving into another state and goes into a store or goes wherever he's going, he's bringing the kingdom of God there. And so we see in the natural, and look, God looks at everybody the same. You know, different countries that you come from, that means nothing to him. But you see, because of what, those bad mindsets that we have, we make judgment sometimes on people coming in. Oh, there's Vietnamese people coming, or there's, you know, the Muslim people are coming. But God loves them all one and the same with us. And so we've got to love on them, and we've got to show the goodness of God. You're their pulpit. Love on them. Be kind and show them the goodness of God. Just because they're different color, just because their eyes look different, they wear their hair different, that means nothing to God. He looks on the inside. And so here on Sunday, everybody can see on the outside, we got our smiling faces and, oh, we're good Christians, but how are we actually living out of our hearts? That's the important thing. That's what God wants to get over to you today. What are we going to take with us when we leave here? We're going to take the goodness of God. According to, by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working. So every one of us should be working effectively. And you say, but Pastor, I just don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Spend time with God and find out. That's the only way you're going to find out. It's not written in the Bible what you're called to do, Connie. You've got to find that out. Every one of you has something God's specifically got you to do. And you got to find out for yourself. I'm just here to kind of excite you. And it's good. Say it's good. It's all good. I'm excited about it. And I can't wait to find out and get doing it. Come on, we're doing it.
Monday, we're doing it in the
schools. You're getting in the schools. Oh, aren't you getting too old for that?
No.
No. She's only 30. Yeah. 80's the new 30. Are you 80 or 70? Okay, 80's the new 30. That there's hope for all of us then. This young lady, she started a business, what, a year or two ago? Sewing to Sew. I mean, well, the other one. I mean, you got so many businesses, you just can't even keep track of them. But she's not afraid. She says, I felt the Lord just put it on my heart, and I'm doing this. And so now she's getting into the school system, and she's going to be teaching sewing. She's a seamstress. She's going to be teaching sewing. Why? She went to an open house, was it? And she walks in a room, and there's two sewing machines. Well, that's her pulpit, sewing machine. She says, well, what are you doing with these things? Oh, well, I don't know. They're just sewing machines. Yeah, but she sees an opportunity to let God get into the school. Happening on Monday? Praise God. We all have a pulpit just like that. Look at that. That's the favor of God. So is it all about the sewing of the needles and the thread? And so, no, you know that song. No, it isn't about that. It's about you getting into the lives of children at that school that they're going to see the goodness of God in this woman. And she's 80. She's not afraid. She's not saying, oh, I'm too old, I just don't know what to do. God, she needs more time in her life because God's got her doing so many things. And it's exciting. And the testimonies are just amazing. When you guys go out, you're going all over the Southwest and with your business. You're a pulpit. I know you guys are a pulpit. They're just sharing the love of God. These are my friends from Texas. Everybody remember them? They came while they were here last summer. Yeah, not this summer, but the year before. Yeah, they're the ones that make those cool, in my office, those benches. Yeah. But God's using that business for his glory. Not for Sue and Pete's glory. They give the glory to God. And he blesses them, and the favor of God's upon them. Amen. And it was because of his request for the offertory song today that we played it. I would have had the worship team do it if they had have been here. If you stick around till next week, I'll have them do it. Amen. Ken can belt it. But here, every joint supplies. You're all important to God. You're all important to God. And God wants to use you. And he's excited to use you. And Jesus paid the price. The price has been paid. And now the goodness of God and the favor of God and all of his attributes, he wants to reflect out of you so the world can see him. See, it's about him. It isn't about us. It's about what can I do for him? What can I do to help somebody else find Christ or find a solution to their calamity, crisis, whatever's going on in their life? How many know that Jesus said tribulation is going to be here? Just don't tribulate. Just say, I follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. He takes me through this thing. Anybody getting anything out of this? That we might grow up. Every joint wants to supply according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Every one of us has a part to play in the body of Christ. It starts out saying the apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers, but they're there to help equip everybody to do, because not everybody knows what to do. And so I had those people in my life to help me to find what I'm supposed to do. I mean, I did have a divine encounter with God, but I had men and women of God speak into my life. I didn't even know this at the time, but there was a woman that came to a church, and she was very, very strong in the prophetic and the miraculous. And she just came in front of me and she said, teach. It's all she said. Interesting that the year before, I didn't tell nobody. I had an encounter with God, and he said, I've called you to teach. And here he's using this woman from Tennessee or somewhere. Happens to be there. I happen to be there. And she speaks and says, that's all she says. She's giving everybody else long words of stuff. It's like, all I got was teach. She said something to you, too. Yes, she did. He was there. Yeah, I'm not going to say. He'll tell you if he wants you to. It was help him teach. We're almost done here. That we should no longer walk as the rest. Oh, that every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. In love. Everything we're supposed to do is supposed to be done in love. Everything we're supposed to do for God is supposed to, love is the motivator. Faith is the activator. Love is the motivator. Why we do? Faith is the activator. Faith is putting your trust, your reliance on God and believing it so. Remember I said earlier, the children of Israel, they wandered around and they didn't enter into the promised land because of their doubt and unbelief. We need to learn from that so we don't have doubt and unbelief in our life and we have faith operating in our life. And we're supposed to go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Every situation that comes to you, I look at situations as an opportunity to see how God's going to work it out supernaturally. It's not about me trying to figure it out. And the sooner you can stop trying to figure it out in your brain and letting the Spirit of God start speaking to you, the quicker you're going to begin to enjoy the blessings of God. Because when we do it in our own, we're like that hamster on that little wheel. And, you know, my sister had hamsters. And darn if those wheels didn't squeak. Drive you nuts because they're up at night. Squeak, 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 squeak. It's like, I wanted to be like Davy Boone and shoot that thing. So I put some 10W-40 in his food. No, I didn't. Oh, he's supposed to squeak. Put the thing on the wheel, not in him. Well, Herman, where's Cheryl? Herman, wasn't that his name? Why did that come to me? That's 500 years ago. She named him Herman. Stupid hamster. Squeak, squeak, squeak. My bedroom is right above hers, and it's like comes right up through the... Did you remember that? That's what kept you up at night. It wasn't us kids. It was that hamster. Why don't you stand with me? We're going to close. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for your goodness and your grace and your mercy. Father, I pray that your word today would take root in the good ground of these people's hearts and those listening online and through the CDs. Father, I just pray that you would continue to release the power in your word to bring that word to its effectiveness in their lives. So we thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for the refreshments, that they're blessed nourishment, strength to our bodies. We'll give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody that agreed said, amen.